In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep. And while a wind from God swept over the face of the waters, and then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and he separated light from the darkness. God called the light day, the darkness he called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. There's some natural tendencies that you have when your religion is old that you might not even realize. Like, if our religion started last week, we would know how things got rolling, we would know how things got written down, we would know, like, how things got ordered. But when you're part of a religion that we could say is at least 2,000 years old, and if we tie it to our Abrahamic roots, even older than that, 3,000 to 3,500 years old, we have separated ourselves in a lot of ways from its origins. And so the view that we have of it sometimes is skewed, and it's skewed in a variety of ways. One way, and I would say this is sometimes is insidious, but sometimes it's just fine, is that we feel like there was no religion before our religion. That the religion that we have is the only one that there ever was. And those poor, sorry folks who were, you know, savages before there was religion, what were they to do? Or we might think that everything in our religion had to be novel or new or unique. That's what started our religion, was its uniqueness. That it tied into things that nobody had ever tied into before. It tied into human tendencies and understanding and revelation that had not been anywhere else. And we started practices that nobody else had had. But folks, like sharing a table as a religious meal, that's as old as we can find anything that's painted on a wall in the world. We didn't innovate there. And in fact, one of the, you know, most disheartening conversations I ever had with a parishioner, and this was a parishioner who was very progressive. This was a parishioner that wanted us to talk about goddesses in church. And when she asked me to pray for her, she'd say, "Just send good thoughts my way." She wouldn't use any religious language. But on a Sunday where I'd been preaching about baptism and had talked about how religions had always baptized, and in fact, even in the water into wine, we see that miracle that Jesus did, that he turns the water that was in these baptismal-like cisterns into wine, that somebody had been practicing baptism before Christianity did, totally blew her away, and it nearly annihilated her faith. Because she thought, like, how is it that baptism is not uniquely Christian? Even though she had all these other, what I'm sure some of you in the pews would call radical views of religion. And so we hold biases in ourselves based on our present day. And I know that in a church like this, there are folks that are sensitive to this. There are folks that have given this some thought. This is not new ideas. This is nothing. By the way, nothing I say up here is innovative as well. So I know that. Standing on the shoulders of giants. But I do think it is worth us being aware of our situation in time with regards to the faith that we hold. And the faith that we hold was started a long time ago by any stretch of the imagination. And there are times when we hold opinions about our faith that they are not meant to diminish our faith. They're not meant to diminish who God is. They're not meant to diminish what other people think or believe, but they sometimes do. And so one of the things that I think is most hard about being separated from the origin of our faith is that we forgot how theology happened. We often, especially on a Sunday today, where we're celebrating the Trinity, which is a doctrine or a dogma, we think that, like, theology came to us as intact in some kind of white paper or written document. In fact, we've tried very hard to make the Bible that written document without a whole lot of success. But that is not the way theology happens. Theology is not delivered in whole. Theology is the articulation that people give to their experience of God. And I think it's so important on a day where we have a doctrine that we struggle with, a doctrine that is hard to explain or impossible to explain, that we're going to sit here and word of encouragement I'm going to give you, which will be followed by words of exhortation later on, is that, like, it is hard. and didn't come to us intact. In fact, this is one doctrine that Christians have been going back and forth and arguing with for years and years and years and years, because it is not explicit in Holy Scripture. But the argument in reverse, which is one we hate to accept, especially in our modern view of reasonable, rational thinking, that I would say it has been explicit in the experience of people who are faithful. That the doctrine of the Trinity didn't come to us in a systematic theology format. The doctrine of the Trinity came to us because people had the experience of the oneness of God and the variety of God and the personhood of God. And they wanted some way to explain how they could hold those things together. Those seemingly contradictory ideas of unity and individualism. Those seemingly contradictory ideas of the material world and the spirit. The reason that we have the doctrine of the Trinity is not because somebody reasoned it out. It's because when early followers of Jesus sat down and talked about their experience of the divine, they found that these experiences all culminated in these three themes of unity, of diversity, and of personhood. And the truth is, they held on to the one that was the least reasonable. Folks, the heresies about the Trinity all make sense. The idea that you could explain the threeness of God by saying that God is like water, that he's ice or vapor or liquid. Folks, from the very early time that was rejected, it's called modalism. That makes sense. It's a great explanation. The idea that God might be like flame that gives off smoke and heat, well, that one's called subordinism, because now the other things are subordinate to the one thing. That makes sense. But that doesn't capture the essence of what I've experienced when I've experienced God. Or they might use the St. Patrick analogy of clover with the three leaves, where they're like, yeah, but each part of God is not one third of God. Each part of God is all of God. In any way that has been tried to be explained with reason has failed and has been determined by folks who determine such things to be heresy. But what has been held on to is the theology that is based on the experience that we have had of the divine, that honors the divine's unity, the divine's diversity, and the divine's personhood and its relationship to us. Theology is an ology. It's a study. It's a study of God. And like all studies, it's based on observation, hypothesis, and then testing and publishing. And on a day like this, where we are testing something that's really difficult, by the way, other doctrines we have, and these give away our like modern bias, the doctrine of incarnation and doctrine of resurrection, those things are equally crazy, all right? But we believe those too because of our experience and not because they were given to us on tablets. But this one, in particular, the study of God that comes to this crazy notion that God holds these contradictory qualities about God, that's important for us because it can provide definition for the experience that we ourselves have of God. Those experiences of the divine that we can tell that there is unity even when we pick it up in different places. The experience of God that is personal, that has characteristics and has a personality. Those are the things that we are to observe and to study. And then mostly, we are to all be theologians because we are then to articulate that experience. The bad thing thing about thinking that our faith was delivered in whole and intact is that it reduces the experiences of ourselves. And not because we don't experience the divine, but because it gets us off the hook of having to articulate those experiences to other folks. And on this day, also, when we hear that Jesus sends out his disciples to articulate that experience in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we too want to be able to articulate the experiences that we have had of the divine to make more disciples by going out and telling people we have experienced God in God's oneness. We've experienced God in his Father, Son, and Holy Spirit diversity. And we've experienced God as a person. We have observed, we are hypothesizing, and each day when we live, we are testing. So that we might publish to the world the experiences that we have that are full of grace, full of sustaining, they're full of the creative power of God. And in that way, we can hold to a theology that may not be reasonable, but is absolutely true. Amen.